Brother Danny Williams used to drive a truck, and it had a CB in it. And on that radio, that CB radio, they'd always say, whenever you agreed with somebody, you say 10-4. And if you ever want to remember where this is located, 2 Corinthians 10:4. Amen. 10:4. Praise God. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Somebody say 10:4. That's amen and CB talk, wasn't it? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. Imaginations, what is imaginations? Imaginations could be false doctrines. It could be thoughts, images in the brain. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Every contrary thing against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Everybody say every thought. To the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know what that's saying? Yeah. We have a readiness. We're ready to tackle anything of obedience and have revenge against it. And when our obedience is fulfilled, we could be the conquerors, basically. Amen. We refute all the arguments and theories and all the different things and every proud and lofty thing, and we bring them into captivity of Jesus Christ, and we use our power tools. Amen. God has given a church power tools, hasn't he? To smash every warped theological concept, every philosophy, every wrong thought, and tear down every barrier against the truth. Hallelujah. And our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and also to construct, amen, maturity by obedience to Jesus Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your power in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen, and you may be seated. I need somebody to find me Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 9. I got it right here, but I like to hear somebody else read it. Amen. Can I get a reader tonight? Amen. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. 17 and verse 9. Something very simple that the scripture is saying. Amen. Who's my reader tonight? All right. Go ahead, Brother Club. The heart is deceitful, what? Above all things, and what? Desperately wicked, then it says, who can know it? And the Bible begins to say the Amplified, if you can look at the Amplified, where it begins to amplify a little commentary, it says the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely morally sick. We're born with a sick heart, and we deal with a sick heart. It said, who can know it? Who can know that heart? And the Message commentary Bible says this, the heart is desperately and hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle no one could figure out. Your heart is a puzzle nobody could figure out. I want to just talk to us tonight in this service. Amen. From something I want to preach and preach tonight, in a world that worships feelings, many believers unknowingly, they bow down to emotional lies. But I want to just proclaim tonight that emotions are not sovereign. Jesus is. And this message tonight is the call for us to take every thought captive, confront every deceptive thing with truth, and walk in obedience even when we're feeling rebellion, when we feel the opposite. Too often we wait to feel ready or to feel strong or feel worthy when God had already spoken to us. Amen. The enemy doesn't need you to chain you if he could just convince you that your feelings are the final words. If he could make you get wrapped up in your feelings and you think that your feelings are the final thing. Amen. I want to just proclaim tonight, you don't follow your feelings. We follow Jesus. And Jesus never fails. Feelings will fool you, fail you, and foul you up. Hallelujah. But I'm thankful that Jesus will never fail you. Praise God. So tonight, I don't know if you have the slide, sister, for the title. Amen. We emailed it earlier. Amen. But we want to talk to you tonight from this. Amen. The tyranny, or the tyranny, however you want to pronounce it, the tyranny of emotions. When emotions begin to be the king over your life. And a tyrant is somebody that rules with authority and is cruel, rude, and unacceptable and has no ethics at all. They don't care. You're just its subject, and they're the one that's in control. I don't want my thoughts even to be a tyrant. And there is a lie today of emotional sovereignty in our generation. But we need to take authority over every harmful feeling and thought. Amen. We need to bring it into the subjection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't operate off of feelings. We operate off of the obedience to the word of God. I have in this slide tonight a crown. I have in this slide an old chain. And I have in this slide a whip. Amen. Your mind will whip you up, chain you up, and wants to crown itself as the authority in your life. But friend, I want to tell you, your mind will fool you, foul you, and mess you up. But there is something that is greater than feeling tonight. It's the word of God. Amen. The word of God is what we need in this hour. We don't operate off of feelings. We don't operate off of what we feel. Amen. Many people say, well, I just don't believe it. And they don't believe anyway. Amen. Your belief system don't have nothing to do with it when the word of God is already plain. Amen. If the word of God says it, I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you believe or what you don't believe. If the word says it, we got to obey the word of God. Somebody say amen or oh me. Praise God, because the word of God matters. Amen. Praise God. So tonight, there's a lie of emotional sovereignty. And we live in an age where feelings are seem to be enthroned. And they're treated as sovereign and obeyed as if they're divine. The world preaches the message, follow your heart. Never mind that the scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Somebody say desperately wicked. I'm telling you, the heart is desperately wicked. But even in the church, this subtle idolatry has crept in. And we often give feelings the final words in the matters of identity, calling, worth, and even truth itself. But folks, I want to say this must end. We got to pull down some things. Emotions are not God. They're not the Holy Ghost. And they're not even accurate half the time. They can be informed by truth, yes. But do you know emotions also can be shaped by your blood sugar, insomnia, hormones, hardship, or the lies that is whispered in the night, or the influence of the world. Uh-huh. The enemy is not a novice. And he knows if he could come in and begin to mess with your emotions and your thinking, he has you on a chain. But folks, I'm going to tell somebody tonight, don't let that lie begin to confuse you. Amen. Whether I feel it or not, God is still God. Whether I believe it or not, God's still God. Amen. My belief and my emotional system should never counter what the word of God says. Praise God. Let me go further tonight. You know, God may use feelings to confirm his presence or stir our hearts, but he never, hear me, subjects his truth to our emotions. His promise does not fluctuate with our mood swings. He is not absent just because we feel numb. He is not displeased just because we feel shame. His word says this in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to tell you, that's the final word, no matter how condemned or empty you may feel. Feelings will fool you. And many times condemnation and emptiness will begin to deter you and hold you back from giving your best to God. I want to talk to somebody. If your feelings contradict the word of God, they're not neutral, they're enemies. I'm going to say it one more time. If your feelings contradict the word of God, they're not neutral, they're your enemies. They must be casted down and crucified. We read a while ago, 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down every argument and every high thing that exacts itself against the knowledge of God. And folks, tonight you could say a big 10:4 to God. Go ahead, God. 10:4, amen to you, God. I thank you tonight that calls, God, your word really matters. When my feelings makes me feel condemned and not worthy, and my feelings make me feel empty, and I feel that there's no hope, God is distant, I come to tell you tonight, amen, when everything is going wrong and everything's coming against you, amen, you got to keep marching on for God. God operates off of faith. God operates off of your obedience. God operates off of your compliancy. But the voice says, this is the argument most believers face. The voice said, you're a failure. God is far. You can't feel God. You're on empty. You're condemned. These are strongholds. These are the fortresses of falsehood built by emotional agreement with lies. And the word commands us to tear them down. Somebody needs to look at me tonight and you need to point your finger and say, tear them down. You need to point your finger across the church on this side if you're on this side. And if you're on this side, point it over here. And if you're in the middle, point it at somebody and say, tear them down. Come on, point it at me and say, tear them down. Point them at somebody else and say, tear them down. Then point it at yourself and say, tear it down. Tear down every emotion that doesn't check up with the things of God. God's word matters. Amen. Come on, God is not a liar. God's word is not just a false thing. It's not a fortune cookie. The word of God is eternal. So we don't coddle these thoughts. We don't pet them. We don't sit with them and just have tea. If you stew with your thinking, and whenever thinking and emotions begin to stir you, and you begin to think, oh my, you know, poor me. You know, I just don't feel God at all. So I'm going to sit here and die. I'm going to come to church and just plop myself down, and I'm not going to do anything. You know what? You need to worship God when you don't feel anything. Does God have to tickle you, to tickle you with his holy feather in your heart to get you to respond? It's kind of like this. Years ago, there was a man that had one of these little things that you turn the crank and it played music. It's called a sidewalk organ or something like that. It had a big stick in the middle, and he had a little pet monkey. And that little monkey, you know, he didn't feel joy. He just danced because he was trained to dance when the music was dancing. And for him, when the music didn't, he was just a monkey. Amen. I want to just tell the church this. Amen. You need to worship God whether there's music. You need to worship God whether there. If it's just two or three. Amen. Worship ought to be something that you give God regardless of the crowd. Where's everybody else? Where are you at? Amen. If there's ever a generation that needs to get together, instead of letting the young people do it, we all need to get together and do it. Instead of letting the pastor and the platform do it, it ought to be the church that you ever worship God and become a worshiper. Today's your opportunity to worship God. Don't let feelings fool you. Don't let old age keep you back. Don't let young age keep you back. Amen. Man, if you only knew sometimes, I mean, Oh, poor me. Poor me. Tells me all the time, don't try too hard. You know, you need to save your knee. You don't need to be limping tomorrow. You don't need to be up at night hurting with a swollen knee and ankles and all. No. I want to tell you, amen, feelings will rob me of what God has for. Hey, friend, I'm thankful tonight that I get to worship God. Hallelujah, I get to praise God. I don't want to be a lump on a log, but I want to be a worshiper. I want to give the crown of honor to the King of Kings. This morning, the Lord spoke to me while I was praying with somebody at the end of the service. It may have been you, Stephen. Why is it people feel like they all going to get before the throne of God? One of these days, I'm going to stand before the throne of grace, the throne of God. If you don't go before the throne of God here, you'll never get the throne of God there. If you don't know how to approach the throne of God here, where there's a throne of grace, you'll never know the great throne of God there. If you don't learn how to pray and seek God's face here, you'll never know God there. Somebody ought to say 10-4. So we don't sit back and just have tea with these negative thoughts and these things that contradict the things. You know what you do? You take up the sword of the Spirit and you stab that lying thing. You cut its head off. You slice it up. You dice it up. You puree it and say you have no room and business in my life. And I want to just tell you, it's not going to be just a one-time fight. Paul said, I die how often? Daily. You're going to have a daily walk with God. You're going to have a daily fight with the flesh. When it's not of God, use a sword. And when feelings are not of the truth, use a sword. And when that old voice begins to tell you, oh, you can't live for God, you're a failure, God is way far off, look what you've done and look what you didn't do. And I mentioned it the other night, amen, the devil bothers a lot of us, not what we done, but what we didn't do. How many has a problem with you? The devil bugs you with what you didn't do. You didn't get up at 4 this morning and pray. You didn't read the book of Exodus this morning. And he bothers you at what you didn't do. But I want to just, amen, counter the enemy. I want to take the sword against the enemy. Amen. He couldn't live for God when he had a chance, and he don't want you to live for God either. Tonight, God is looking for somebody, amen, to rise up, wise up, and say, hey, devil, I'm tired of you taking my territory. I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to allow you to take my victory. Amen. Oh, I have a God who cares about me. I have a God who paid the price for me. That old voice is not the shepherd, and don't let emotions become your shepherd. I know the shepherd's voice, and this is spiritual warfare. We got to take dominion. There are a lot of people that get emotionally intoxicated. You're not sinning because you feel overwhelmed, confused, or low. But you cross into sin when you let these states of emotions govern your behavior. You know, a man who drinks whiskey and climbs into his pickup truck, the law charges him as a criminal because when he uses his truck as a deadly weapon while knowing that he's impaired. And when you get an emotional storm and the spinning vortex of anxieties and all these things, let me just tell you, we don't drive intoxicated. We don't make decisions, in other words, we don't act or change courses in the midst of feelings. That would be reckless driving. That would be intoxicated driving. Whatever emotions begin to rule you and you're trying to operate off them, you know what you need to do, friend? When you are in the midst of foggy feeling, when you're weak and you feel condemned and worn, amen, when you want to lash out and you're pressed to make a decision and you want to walk away from your calling and your place in God or doubt God's love, you need to put the brakes on and say, hold it. I'm not going one bit further. Amen. Hey, I feel emotionally numb right now. I feel fog. I feel unstable. Amen. I feel heavy, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to put my anger. Ankles down. I want to put my feet against the ground, having all to do. The Bible says, "Stand." Yeah. If your internal compass is spinning, learn to wait. Don't jump to conclusion. Don't steer. Open the Word of God. You know the hardest thing for a pastor to do is to reach out and say, I need help. Would you pray for me? Man, talking about it, you go through things even in the ministry that are crazy. I don't have all the answers. And I don't have pacifiers tonight. I come to rip pacifiers out of the mouth of old babies. And I come to tell the church tonight, God is not interested in old babies. It's time for us to wise up, grow up, and be more for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The detriment of this hour is when a church is full of old babies that are always whining about something, complaining about something, looking around and begin to feel like, look at them. Look at that one. Always pointing out the faults and failures of other people. I want to tell you, throw away the pacifier, amen, and get on some solid meat and learn to walk with God. Quit whining and say, God, I want to grow up. I want to be a mighty warrior in the Holy Ghost. I want to be an ambassador for you. Amen. Hear me tonight. When the storm of life is starting to come against you, let the Spirit of truth calm that storm before you start walking on the waves. The scripture says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. You know, there's a right use of emotions. When to listen and when to rebuke. We're not against everything, but I'm going to just tell you, emotions are not evil. They're created by God. Jesus wept. He rejoiced in the Spirit. He groaned in anguish. And your emotions, when they're submitted to God, can be sanctified, clean, and pure. They can stir your heart for truth and help you sense His presence and stir you to compassion. Thank God for emotions. Thank God we didn't come here today and we're just a bunch of deadheads, but we could get emotional and our emotions could be centered and anchored in Jesus Christ. But what we're talking about, amen, there's a difference between being stirred by the Spirit and being enslaved by sentiment. The Holy Ghost may make you feel awe. It may feel, you feel grieved. You may feel joy in the Holy Ghost or urgency in the Holy Ghost. These feelings are real when they're aligned with the Word of God. But the moment your emotions speak against the truth of God, they must be bound and silenced, not evaluated, not entertained, but they got to be silenced. When do I trust my feelings, you may ask? Let me answer this. Only when they are anointed and in line and agreed with the Word of God. When do I reject them? The moment they contradict the written things of God and the revealed character of Christ or the nature of His covenant. If they cause me to violate a covenant I have with God, a covenant that I have with my brother or my sister or my church family, amen, that's the moment that you begin to forsake them. Amen. Hey, friend, I'm glad that the Lord said I will never leave you or forsake you. God's going to be a covenant keeper, but God is looking for a church, amen, that will stand on their end of the covenant and say, God, your will is done. Your way is the way that I want. So you feel worthless. Remember the scripture says you were bought with a price. Then your feeling is a dismissal. When you feel worthless, it's a dismissal of the blood of Christ. You're worth something. Jesus went to Calvary for you. If you could feel condemned, Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Then that voice in your heart when you feel condemnation is not the Holy Ghost. It's the accuser of the brethren. So what do? You confront the feelings. You name it. And you rebuke it with the scripture. Depression is not my identity. This dread is not my destiny. This shame is not my shepherd. I already have one. So when you are not obligated to obey your flesh, and I want to just tell you, when you feel that prompting of your flesh, don't be obligated to obey it. You owe the flesh nothing. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature is urging you to do. But through the Spirit, we need to put it to death. Amen. put it out. Don't reason with it. No bad feeling. Don't sit in paralysis. Get the word. Get the prayer out. Get the spirit of the name of the Lord activated in your life and say, I am not bowing to depression. Amen. Somebody ought to say 10-4 tonight to God. Amen. And then do the will of God with your whole heart, even when you feel your feelings are dragging their feet. You feel like you're on empty. You feel like your gauge is down low. That's when you got to push yourself. That's where it calls for a sacrifice of effort. You don't need your emotions to feel inspired in order to obey. You need them to be submitted. And if they refuse to submit, they must be overridden by the obedience. That's why the scripture says, take every thought captive, and we got to wage war. This is not therapy. This is war. You're not managing feelings. You're taking them captive. God is ready for his church to rise up. We're not coddling wounds. You're binding spirits of darkness. And you're not hoping for better moods tomorrow. You're executing judgment today on every thought that dares to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Hear me. Again, 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down everything that argue against God. Come on, friend. This a lie of emotional sovereignty is stealing and killing and robbing our church. But today I come as your pastor to tell you, you could be mighty in the Holy Ghost by saying, I'm not going to let emotions rule me. Somebody ought to clap your hands and lift your voice and say, God, I want you to rule and reign. I want your victory. I want your authority in my soul. Well, what does that mean? It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a belief you begin to accept without examining in the light of God's truth. Something you hadn't brought to the light. What is an argument? It's a voice, often your own. When you hear your own voice telling you, you'll never change. You're too damaged. You've blown it for good. You really don't belong to God. You'll never feel joy again. How many has ever heard your voice tell you those lies? Does your voice speak to you in your head? How many has ever hear that in you? It's not a different voice. My voice inside of me says, my voice even calls me by my first name, Brent. Oh, you're making an idiot of yourself. Why even try to get up? Why even pray? Why even go to the front of the church? You know, you're the only one, you know, and everybody else is not going to worship. Turn around and look at the crowd. They're just watching the back of your big bald head. Some are. But I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for him. Hallelujah. Sometimes the pastor's got to push you. Hallelujah. You need to let the Holy Ghost, amen, have sovereignty against your emotions. Amen. I want to just tell you, emotions are not just some innocuous or petty passing moods. They're flaming arrows shot by the enemy of your soul. And your job is not to sit there and absorb them like a bleeding sponge, but your job is to raise a shield of faith and quench the fiery darts and arrows of the enemy. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, would you be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one? I'm telling somebody, the enemy of your faith sometimes could be your emotions. I want you to understand that the enemy of your faith and soul is an old enemy. His arrows are recycled. He's been whispering the same poison for 2,000 years. But it feels like, Brother Brian, that we're losers, because 2,000 years he's been in control and sovereign. But you know what's the difference? I have the antidote. What in the world is an antidote? Don't raise your hand. Don't answer out loud. I want to see which one on this front row right here of these young ladies could tell me what is an antidote. So think about it. I may call on each one of you, give you a little bit of time. We have the antidote. Even though the enemy says, I've been a sovereign, I've been a tyrant of your emotion and of emotions of humanity for years. I just said we have an antidote. Now, which one of you are going to be first to answer? What is an antidote? Who's going to help me out, young ladies? Coley raised her finger first. Go ahead, Coley. A cure. Anybody else? Antidote. Cure sounds good. Everybody vote for a cure? We have the cure. We have the cure. We have the answer. Are you thankful that we have the answer? Amen. The enemy says, I've been sovereign. I am the ruler. And he is best messing up people's emotions. I want to tell you what the antidote is the word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the name above all names. Hallelujah. So guess what? Amen. The enemy don't like it when you start using the word against him. Amen. Hallelujah. So Coley, amen, when the enemy starts messing with your emotions and he begins to tell you through your voice, you hear your voice in your brain saying, I don't feel like worshiping God. You use the word and say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. You start quoting the word. You start praying the word. And you begin to take the name of Jesus. And you begin to say, Lord, I'm going to bless your name. Amen. A lot of times we want to take the name of Jesus against Satan. That's good. But I want to tell you, you start worshiping the name. And you start calling the name in worship. The devil can't stick around. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight I come to worship him. When you don't know what to do and you don't feel what to do, you just start saying the name and you start worshiping the name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're safe. I'm calling somebody tonight in this place for you to put the name back in its place. Declare the name. Amen. Declare the name that is above all names. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're saved. You want to take thoughts captive? You start naming the lie. Doubt. Laziness. I'm coming against you. You start doing the opposite of what it's telling you not to do. Y'all remember the story I told you? We were at Whataburger one night after church. And that night, man, pastor had to be pastor. And I was talking what the word of God says against homosexuality. And I was hitting it. I was naming it. I was calling it names. I mean, redneck names, too. And right after church that night, and homosexuality is a sin. Do you know God hates sissified men? Effeminate. So that's why we walk upright. We talk right. Mm-hmm. So that night after church, we went to Whataburger. And lo and behold, while I was visiting with some of our young people, looked over there, two dudes start getting in a booth, and they were sharing a milkshake, same straw. And something rose up in me. But the Lord spoke to me, go over there. Brother Jerry, I had to ask God for his ID. I didn't want to comply. I didn't want to obey the Holy Ghost. But God said, go. Finally, I don't want God to have to tell me three times. Finally, I got up, and it was sitting on the same side of that booth, and I can show you exactly where it was at. It was right next to the soda machine on that wall, south wall. And I sat across from their eyes got big. I said, the Lord just spoke to me. And it wasn't my feelings. I had to overcome my feelings. The Lord just spoke to me. And I don't know why, but he knows why. And I said, I just want to come talk to you about the Lord. And I said, I don't even know what to say, but I just want to obey the Holy Ghost. And I looked at those two boys, young men. And I reached in my pocket and I gave them each a card to the church. I really didn't know what to say. And I just talked to them. With kindness, and I represent the kingdom. And I felt the Lord said, okay, you can go back. I went back and finished my French fries. And it was the next week, hear me, Brother Mark Green and myself were in IHOP in Lufkin at a meeting. He and I went to meet with things that we needed to discuss back in those days for youth camp that was coming up. And so I met with Brother Green, and we come in, and they seated us at this table. And the next thing you know it, here comes a waiter, and he stood next to us. And we weren't paying attention to him, and he said, Brother Crosswhite. I stopped and I looked up some young man I did not recognize. And he said, he opens up that little black thing that they take your order with. And he had my business card. And he said, do you remember last week at Whataburger? He said, I was flirting with homosexuality, basically. And he said, you came across and you said the Lord sent you over there. He said, I was raised in church, around church. I knew better. And I was playing with something I knew not to play with. And when you came across from me, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. That meant that God had hope for me. And he said, I want you to know I left that place that night. And I said no to sin. I got victory in Jesus. And he said, I just want to thank you. Now, feelings that night would have fooled me because I was upset and I said no to God. But there was somebody that God wanted to pull out of the ditch of sin. There was somebody that God had mercy in because his word began to proclaim something against that spirit. Now, if I would obey my emotions would have robbed me and the young man. But that night I obeyed the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we both got victory that night. Hallelujah. That day. Hallelujah. You're thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you feel God, I don't feel you, but I know you're here. You need to worship him anyway. Amen. When you feel too depressed to be any use, amen, you need to remember Nehemiah 8:10. It says, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Satan, you don't get to have my purpose, and you don't have to write me out of what God has for me. You want freedom tonight? Amen. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, freedom is a sword fight. Freedom is when you get the word out and you strike first and you say, devil, you're not getting me this time. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody ought to get your Bible right now, and you need to stand and hold your Bible up and say, God's word says it, and I'm going to stay with it. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost right now, even for somebody to put their trust in the word. Hallelujah. You get to get in love with the word of God even when you don't feel it. You don't have that feeling. You need to say, God, you matter above all things. Woo! In fact, you know what? I feel for you to raise your Bible again, and you ought to shout victory tonight. Somebody ought to just lift that voice in victory. Come on, victory, victory, victory. Hallelujah. You ought to shout unto God for the power of the author and the finisher of your faith. Woo! Hallelujah. Bishop Don Tipton, I quoted it last week. I'm going to quote it again. The Bible is the only book where the author shows up when you read it. And guess what? If he's there when you read it, he's there when you obey it. Come on, this is a sword fight. From a victim to a victor, you're not powerless. Don't be a victim of your emotions. That lie has to die. I am not subject to the tyranny or the tyranny of my emotions. How do you pronounce it, Sister C? Tyranny or tyranny? Tyranny. We say tyrant, not a tyrant. It's humble next to Houston. Not humble next to Houston. Anyway, the tyranny of emotions. It's a lie of emotional sovereignty. But we take authority over these lying feelings. You may be seated. Praise God. The lie has to die. You're not at the mercy of your moods. Don't be at the mercy of your hormones and the mercy of your history and your depression. You're at the mercy seat of Christ. God is armed with weapons. We can slash his lies. We have a shield that quenches the darts of doubt. We have a will and a made-up mind. But we put in obedience to the grace of God. See, grace is not just a get-out-of-hell ticket. Grace will help you when you apply it. Grace will teach you. Jesus didn't die to make you a slave to your feelings. He died to make you free. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Freedom doesn't mean you'll never feel weakness. It means weakness don't own you. It means the devil don't get to write your story based on how you feel in the morning. It means your past doesn't get to define your obedience. And it means you no longer need permission from your emotions to obey the Spirit of the Lord. See, emotions always tell you whether you can obey the Holy Ghost or not in a church service. Boy, you ever seen somebody stubborn as a mule and their emotions as sovereign? Move me if you can. Pastor tells you to do something, you sit there like, try me. That old evil spirit start operating. Let me just tell you, when somebody gets defiant to the Holy Ghost, God still has a last word. Amen. You watch the rebellious, stubborn nature inside of us. When we feed it and we court it and we pet it, we think, we won when we walk out of that church service. No, you're going to need God. You may not want God, but you're going to need God. And what are you going to do when you've been to this every time God tried to woo you and draw you? You think? I thank God that somebody kept the fire burning in my life. Somebody kept the prayer fire burning in my life when I needed God, that I could call on God's people. Thank God for a pastor that kept preaching and teaching some things. Amen. And drawing some lines and building some fences and some walls in my life. Amen. And taught some things to me when I was a teenager. Because, friend, when my parents moved to Texas, amen, there wasn't those things there. Amen. The church that we moved to, they didn't have that kind of teaching. They thought we were idiots. They thought we were crazy. Thank God for a teacher that put a fence in my life. When everybody else was jumping the fence and they didn't have a fence, thank God, amen, for something that kept my soul all these years. Hallelujah. I don't have to have permission from my emotions to obey the Holy Ghost. You don't have to feel victorious to walk in victory. The Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Why? Because saying it, it's how you step in it. You don't have to wait for the strength to show up in your bloodstream to declare it. You just act upon the word of God and say, Lord, I trust you. You're my strength. And the very act of proclaiming it and walking in it begins to choke out the lie of the weakness out of your life. Here's how the devil works. He doesn't need to make you sin outright. Hear me. The devil don't need to make you sin outright. He just needs to make you feel disqualified. Then when you're disqualified yourself, he doesn't need to bind you in chains. He just needs to hand you a chain and convince you it's yours. And many believers wear that chain like a jewelry piece. But no more are you your feelings. You're not your failures. You're not your fear. You're a son and daughter. You're a vessel of the Holy Ghost. And your job is not to wait for a better mood. Your job is to speak the truth and live the truth and give God the honor until the lie dies and the fog clears. You don't have to say, I don't feel worthy. Fine, you aren't worthy. When the enemy says, you're not worthy, I don't feel worthy, Pastor. I just want to tell you, you're not worthy. None of us is worthy. He is worthy, and he has called you his own. Now get up, put your praise on, and serve God. That's what I call dominion in the Holy Ghost. When we walk in the authority of that word of God, it dispels the darkness when we follow the light. Amen. Walk in light that you don't bow to the things of darkness. We have obedience in the fog, even when we feel faithless. We feel nothing. Some of the most victorious acts is acts of obedience, the acts of obedience. When we feel nothing to start, no inspiration, no goosebumps, no spiritual high, just you walking in the fog with the enemy hissing, God is far, look at you. And you reply, I feel so empty. I feel so distant from God. But the Holy Ghost speaks to you to walk by faith, not by sight. Do you know this kind of obedience helps you overcome the power of darkness? 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. God loves his church. We don't need a spiritual lift. We don't need those things we don't need a spiritual guru to come up here and talk us into it. You mean God just wants us to obey the Spirit. You don't need to feel strong to act in strength. The soldier doesn't stop marching just because the sky is gray. He knows the command. He moves anyway. The problem is, there's a lot of people just don't want to obey the command of God. God commands it. It's not left up to you to change it or relegate it by your feelings. The command of God is still his command. What does obedience look like? When you open the word of God, when your flesh wants to scroll on your phone, and obedience to the word of God means I'm going to obey him. I'm going to open the word of God when my flesh wants to scroll on my phone. It looks like praying when your soul feels numb. It looks like encouraging somebody when you feel yourself empty. It looks like worship the Lord with your mouth when you're washing dishes and you feel all hopeless. Lady, you feel down in the dumps. While you're washing dishes, start praising God. Have song service. Why is it that we don't worship anymore at home? The only time we worship is we have to have a crowd. We have to be entertained. No, the greatest worship service ever is behind the wheel of a car or at a sink washing dishes or in the shower. Amen. Oh, friend, we need to worship God. You need to give God your voice. You may not have a good singing voice, but you got a God who responds to your singing, to your voice, to the song that you have for him. God wants to hear you sing. Obedience looks like speaking the truth when your own mind whispers lies. I want to tell you, this isn't fake. This is faith in God. Jesus didn't feel glorious in Gethsemane. He sweated blood. He cried out, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he obeyed. And when you feel to do the same, you're saying, not my feelings, but your will be done. You're walking in the footsteps of Christ. Heaven sees it and hell fears it. The Bible says, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing. We shall. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You may feel nothing now, but obedience builds the momentum. Truth burns through the fog. We keep doing right, good. We keep moving forward. You're not faking, you're sowing. Brother Martin, when you plow that garden, you start planting, you don't see those potatoes at first. When you plant those seeds out there, you don't see it. You can't. But in your mind, you taste those good things. You have a taste. Man, I can't wait to taste this squash. I can't wait to taste these peas. Listen, the reason why you do it, you plow and you sweat, you work, and you a lot of hard work because the reward is in the product. And I want to tell somebody, it's worth every hardship, every hard thing that you have to do, because there's a harvest coming. The numbness will break. The clarity returns. And even if it doesn't, God still reigns, and your obedience counts. I come to tell this church tonight, God wants you to be victorious. What about you? Are you shackled to your feelings? Are you waiting for emotional alignment before you obey God? Or does your feelings bow to the authority of God? I want my feelings to line up to the Word of God. Feelings are not Lord, but Jesus is. I want this to burn in your soul, that your feelings are not sovereign. Jesus is. Your emotions do not define reality. His Word does. You don't take cues from the storm. You take orders from the throne. Your feelings, if your feelings tell you God is withdrawn, remind Him of His Word. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm glad today that I have a God that blesses us. That God is a God who cares about us. Sometimes the greatest act of spiritual warfare is to get up and say, God, I'm going to do it because of who you are, not what I feel. Evil wants to paralyze you. Evil wants to isolate you. Evil wants to define you. But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil of good. That's how the kingdom of God is built. That we don't mind the flesh, but we obey the Holy Ghost. Stand with me tonight. I'm not going to negotiate with my flesh. I'm going to dethrone it. The crown belongs to Jesus Christ, not my emotions. The turning point comes when you don't need another sign. You don't need another surge of emotions, but you drive the sword in its place and you begin to execute the lie. I'm not alone. My God's taking good records. And you never forget that you were made for dominion, to be the one that has the power of God. You were born to let God reign, not your emotions, not your fears. You're a child of the living God. Scripture says, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, including that lie that you woke up with this morning. It shall not prosper. I'm thankful today that that old tyrant called emotions that has whipped me, withheld me, and fooled me, and robbed me, is not my God. But my God is faithful tonight. He's looking for somebody to crown Him by faith. To love Him and obey Him. Even when you can't feel it. The enemy will stir your mind up to where you, when you get all tied up in your emotions, you think everybody's against you when everybody could be for you. You feel like everybody's pointing their finger at you when they're pointing their finger saying, God, help him or her. When people really care about you, they pray for you. I've had people. I had a man in this town one time years ago that talked to me. He said, do you know so-and-so that attends your church? I said, yes, sir. He said, I was at his house, and this man talked horribly about you. And I stopped him. That man don't go to our church. He stopped him and he said, I've been taught, don't talk about the man of God. You know what I did? It sunk me. It hurt me. It crushed me. It bothered me. Because this man had just told me, Pastor, I love you. And the next thing I know it, the dude is having me roasting me, toasting me, chewing me up, spitting me out. And the Lord said, give the problem to me. And I can remember going before the throne of grace and saying, God, here it is. So just recently, the man seen me again. He said, is old so-and-so still to go to your church? And he started again. I remember that day at his house, he started in on you. And I defended you. And I said to the man, I said, you know what? I've forgiven that person years ago. And that don't bug me because I put it in the hands of the hand, the one who can handle it. People's going to upset you. People's going to bother you. And the devil works with your mind and says, look what they're doing. But I want to tell you, people's going to be people. People's going to be people. And if you get your eye, Abigail, on people, people's going to mess with your brain. Learn it now at 17, 16, 18, 15. Learn it at 15, baby. People will mess with you, with your brain. But keep your armor on. When you have the shield of faith is the antidote against the fiery darts. Britt, there's going to be people that tell you they love you and tackle you when you're not looking. Wesley, there's going to be people that look at you and say, woo, Wesley. And behind your back, you're going to hear stories. But you know what? People are going to be people. Austin, people's going to be people. They'll talk about you. They'll crucify you. But let them. Don't let it bother you. They did it to Jesus. And he rose again. And he'll help you rise up. If you look to him, instead of measuring by what people are saying. Hallelujah. Keep your testimony and your faith anchored into the King of Kings. Emotions are not my tyrant. The tyranny of emotions is not the victor tonight. My Redeemer, Jesus Christ, is my King. Amen. Would you lift your hands in this place tonight and love the Lord? Oh, God's good. I'm telling you, there's healing in the house tonight for somebody. You ought to thank God tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, if you've got a grudge in your heart tonight against somebody, amen, you ought to unload it tonight at the throne of grace. While God is still a God of grace tonight and mercy, while the grace and mercy is still in operation, come on, hallelujah, you ought to give God that opportunity to help you. There's been something that's been bothering you and your emotions. Come on, won't you unload it in the hands of the hand that could help you tonight? Hallelujah. Would you let God reach to you? Come on, don't obey your emotions tonight. Emotions tell you to just stay put, don't worry about it. Oh, but God's grace is here to help you, to heal you, to lead you. Come on, don't let the tyrant tonight rule your situation when the goodness of the Lord is reaching and God wants to help you tonight. Hallelujah. Sing if you can, Sis Crosswhite. Come on, let the Spirit of the Lord, somebody ought to take your crown. Come on and lay it at the feet of Jesus tonight. Lord, you're beautiful. Come on, worship the King with me tonight.
What you know is true.
Keep believing.
Keep believing. We'll see it through when troubles rise in your life and you don't know what to do. You'll be fine if you'll just keep believing. Keep believing in what you know is true. Keep believing. We'll see you through.
Come on, you're to thank God for Calvary tonight.
Rise,
I feel the blood of Jesus
life,
tonight. Yes.
And you don't.
Come on, I know what he's done for me.
Do.
Come on, hallelujah. So know so salvation.
If you just
hallelujah. Believe him. Trust him.
Believing.
Keep believing in his blood and his power.
Keep believing in what you know is true.
Come on, he's merciful to cleanse us and forgive us of our sins.
You know the Lord will.
Come on, accept what he's done for you at Calvary.
When troubles rise.
Come on, thank him for his excellency, his mighty acts.
You don't know what to
thank
do.
You for the blood, Lord
You'll
Jesus.
Be
thank you for what you're doing
if
for my soul tonight, God. Come on, get a hold of Calvary with us tonight. Lord, I love you. Keep believing. Keep believing. Yes.
And what you know is true. Keep believing. You know the Lord.
Come on, God wants to see you through tonight.
When troubles rise.
Hallelujah.
In your
yes,
life,
yes, yes.
And you don't know what to do. You'll be fine. If you just keep. Keep believing.
Come on, get a hold of his grace tonight.
What you know is
get a hold of his goodness tonight.
Keep believing. You know the Lord will see you through when troubles rise in your life and you don't know what to do. You'll be fine. If you just keep believing.
Yes, come on, believe in what he says tonight.
Keep believing in what you know is true. Keep believing. You know the Lord will see you through when troubles rise in your life. And you don't know what to do.
Believe him. Trust him tonight.
Just keep believing.
Trust him tonight. Yes.
Keep on believing in what you know is true. Keep believing. You know the Lord will see you through when troubles rise in your life.
Come on, there's a flow from Calvary tonight for us. Come on, Calvary was for you and I.
If you just keep believing.
Let his blood work and wash you.
Keep on believing
in what I know is true. Keep believing. Believe him tonight.
You know the Lord will see you through when troubles rise in your life and you don't know what to do. You'll be fine if you just keep believing. Keep believing in what you know is true. Keep believing. You know the Lord will see you when troubles rise in your life and you don't know what to do. You'll be fine if you just keep believing. Keep believing in what you know is true. Trouble rises in your life.
Trust him. Believe him tonight. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord.
If you just keep believing, keep believing in what you know is true. Keep believing. Rise in your life and you don't know what to do. You'll be fine if you just keep on, keep on.
Come on, you don't know what to do. Believe him. Believe him. Believe him. Believe him. Come Oh, he's a promise keeper. He keeps his word. He's a covenant keeper.
Keep believing.
Come on, let the Holy Ghost refresh your faith.
The Lord will
let him refresh your faith.
When trouble rises in your life and you don't know what to do, you'll be fine if you just keep on believing. Keep believing in what you know is true. Keep believing. You know the Lord will see you through when trouble rises in your life and you don't know what to do. Just keep don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you
tonight.
There is power
in the name of
Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Would you worship with this song tonight? Somebody sing and worship the Lord with it.
Yeah. I hear chains.
Worship the Lord tonight as you you sing it. I hear those chains falling. Oh, yeah.
I hear those
chains are falling tonight. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Break every chain. 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 There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
There's an army rising up. Come on, be a part of that army.
Rising up to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. I hear those chains falling. Hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. Break every chain. 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 There's an army and it's rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? The heart is a hopeless, dark, and deceitful a puzzle that no one can figure out. Only God. When we give it to God, He has the missing piece to life's puzzle because He's the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Hosts. Thank you, Creator, tonight for loving us. Thank you for the word, Lord, the truth. Help us, Jesus, to grasp it, to anchor ourselves in it, our emotions. God, we give to you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, somebody declare amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Remember Tuesday night, our midweek service, we've been teaching on the pathway to a pure heart. And it will go along with this lesson tonight that we have preached and taught. And I'm so thankful for the goodness of the Lord, the way God's working. Amen. We're so thankful for Stephen today. God ordained this services today for Stephen, for all of us. But Stephen, we're so thankful. Amen. Praise God. What God has done. Others today, God gave you a opportunity to gather some smooth stones for your bag to put your giant down. Now, the Lord's giving you those stones, but a stone in the shepherd's pouch will do no good until you put it in the sling. And you let the sling do its thing. And you put it there in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Wind it up, let it go, because the battle belongs to God. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Lift your voice with it and shout unto God. Amen. God bless you tonight. We love you. Right around the corner, remember our announcements. I know we got a couple months till our youth crusade. We have a youth crusade in August. Brother Metland's church, Brother Martinez, and our church will be working together. As other churches invite it, but these three are the ones that begin to host it. We'll be needing your help around the church. Remember the mowing zones. Amen. We need to get this place in top shape. I know the yard rain and all that, but let's get on it just as quick as we can. We love you. And if you are not part of the cleaning team or anything like that, please get with us. We could use your help in any manner. You ought to be involved in something. There ought to be something you're doing for the house of the Lord. Make sure you're part of it. God bless you. We want to go to heaven. How? You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
This part right here.
Yeah, as I was listening to it today, I actually heard my time a little bit different. And then almost the same hand position because you're drawing your breath. And then it's like it's not only the same timing. If that makes sense.
Exalt his name.
And then the way their timing was on that one, I was playing it too soon. Exalt his name. So it's like they waited not on the downbeat to play that and that.
I just want to know how to make that seventh. That's what I was.
So, I don't know that it helps you, but for my brain, I start with what the chord is. So it's a D. And then 7 sharp, 5 sharp, 9, you kick out the bass note. The D stays.